This is Coffee at KYUK, conversation between friends and neighbors. Come in and have a cup.
Good morning. Joining me for a special coffee this morning is Dave and Laura, here to talk about flooding and breakup on the Yukon. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm Dave Strubel. I'm the Weather Service hydrologist on the Riverwatch team looking at the ice breakup on the lower Yukon.
And good morning. This is Laura Havemeister. I work for the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. We're operations boots on the ground. I was here in October for Halong, so we respond when there's a disaster or emergency.
So you guys have been flying the Yukon. You were up there yesterday. You're going back up there today. Can you tell me a little bit about what you're seeing and what to expect? I know there has been flooding in Holy Cross.
Yeah, currently there's a flood warning out for Russian Mission, Holy Cross, and Grayling. And this is all due to an ice jam that formed probably late in the day Sunday, about 10 miles downriver from Russian Mission. And as of yesterday afternoon, it was still in place. There was about 60 miles of ice backed up from the jam point. And there was extensive overland flooding, with the most significant flooding in Holy Cross, with backwater up to Anvik, a minor flooding along the Anvik River of some of the old structures and places along, right in Anvik itself. So there's also a flood watch out downriver. We're worried that when this ice jam releases, Marshall will see a rapid increase in water, and particularly more concern down at Pilot Station for potential jamming and flooding once the ice jam releases at Russian.
And when do you expect that ice jam to release? Before we started the show, you were telling us a little bit about the science of the ice jam. Is there a timeline for that? Can people expect it to mush out soon?
When we overflew it, Laura and I, in the plane yesterday, it hadn't changed a lot. There's about 3 or 4 miles of just in-place sheets, just about 10 miles downriver from Russian. And those, were showing some signs of, getting darker and some fracturing. But it's until that, we get some movement and those begin to float and essentially the fail. The ice jam's going to stay there. On the good side, if you look kind of historically at the Yukon River and large ice jams, it's tough for them to stay in place for more than a few days. And we're going on day 3 today. But we'll definitely, our plan is to go look right away this morning via airplane and get eyes on it.
And when you're looking at a community and you're talking to a community that is, being flooded or about to be flooded, how do they prepare? How do they get ready for this sudden increase of water?
Well, luckily we landed in Russian Mission and Holy Cross on Monday. And the community was already preparing. They were doing the things that they normally do, which is fantastic. But we tell them to elevate anything like four-wheelers and boats and any personal belongings, put them high in your house. Have a go bag. Be ready with all your important things. One thing that we really stress is like medications and documentation. Try to make copies of all your driver's license, your marriage certificates, and all that, and have that ready to go. So we were able to do that in those two communities, and they were actively moving their boats to high ground and taking the measures that they need to. And it was great to talk to them, and we made contacts and said, please reach out to us if there's any change or water levels increase. And they are concerned, but they're taking all the actions. And then we just talk about sheltering. Where would you go to shelter? And usually it's family and friends, but then it's the school, typically, in the community. So that's what we do. And they're well prepared. And luckily, I'm so happy we landed in Holy Cross on Monday because we couldn't land yesterday. The airport is underwater. And they were already actively moving everything to high ground. So
as things move out, as this jam passes, there is flooding expected in more villages as well, just because there's so much water. I imagine the way to prepare is to, as you just said, you know, move things to higher ground, have a go bag ready, get your medications ready. Will the flooding be as bad as when the ice jam moves out?
I think, yeah, you have to be prepared because there's just a lot of kind of unknowns and uncertainty and how quick it jams, how fast the water goes up. You know, yesterday it was pretty apparent that it likely came up pretty quick, maybe in Holy Cross on Monday night, you know, maybe a couple feet just, and then it probably stays steady and then it could come up again. So it's pretty hard to you know, decide, you know, it's just going to be a slow rise. I'd be prepared for some, you know, ice jam and then a pretty rapid increase in water levels and flooding.
And as we move down river and towards the coast, what is the fear of flooding there? Is there going to be, I've heard a lot about sea ice this year with how cold it was and how much snow we got. Is there going to be a flooding potential for those more coastal villages?
Yeah, we've been in contact with some of the elders in Emonic and Alucknuk over the last month, and they are definitely concerned. They were relaying that to our office here for the last few weeks. And as you mentioned, it was a cold winter. Some of the weather station statistics kind of implied that this could have been, at least at a few locations, like the coldest kind of persistent coldest since, you know, in the 70s. So based on that, the ice is thick down there. The sea ice extent was a long way south this year and is still in place at the mouth of the Yukon, which will complicate the breakup and increase the potential for flooding in Emonic, Alucknuk. So, but, you know, the main thing right now is this ice jam that is at Russian, you know, it's going to have to, will release. It's, you know, about 150 to 200 miles, you know, until you kind of get into that lower end of the river. So all this ice has got a route down there. The big surge of water will work its way down there. So we're probably at least a couple days away for the, you know, the breakup threat down there. But today, we're going to go, our team here, fly hopefully a little bit downriver towards at least Pilot Station and maybe on down towards Mountain Village.
What, not to compare the two rivers, but I'm curious, what has been the weather difference along the Yukon? Everyone expected a lot of flooding on the Kuskokwim, and there was, you know, significant flooding, but not to the degree that people were anticipating. What makes that difference that the Yukon always, I don't know if this is an answerable question, but like the Yukon always breaks up a little later, and this year it's breaking up with that flooding that we were expecting on the Yukon or on the Kuskokwim. Was it warmer up there?
Yeah, it is interesting. I think some of it's just chance. Where an ice jam occurs and doesn't occur, but you know, we did have very cold winter. Looking even at, we were walking around at Russian Mission, and the thing that did jump out to me was how thick the ice was. Maybe there was a little bit more snow on the ice down here on the Cusco that kept it from, you know, it insulates it, so maybe the thickness wasn't quite as significant on the Cusco relative to the Yukon. But then also the Yukon extends so much further inland and, you know, into the Yukon of Canada. And it was warmer there, a couple weeks ago. So they start getting a pretty good push of snowmelt, and that's worked its way down. And so that, the volume of water potentially was, you know, more significant coming down the Yukon than the Kuskokwim snowmelt, you know, its contribution. So that might be the cause, but some of it, I think, is just chance, you know, where it jams and how it jams.
Yeah. And Laura, if people are experiencing flooding or, are preparing for flooding, how does the state support them in that? And how can they reach out to you if they have questions or, need more support in working their way through this hard time?
Well, it actually starts about a month prior to us deploying. We do community calls on the Cusco, the upper and the lower Yukon, and we establish these contacts so that we can call and have cell phone numbers are so important to reach out. So it starts prior to the flooding. And then after that, we have our SEOC, which is our State Emergency Operations Center. It is stood up back at J-Bear, and we have a whole team that takes in the phone calls, and then we relay information back and forth. So that's what they're doing currently. You can go to ready.alaska.gov, and that has all the preparedness information on there. And then you can always call our hotline. We have a hotline that's open 24 hours a day. We have a duty officer at night and on weekends. And that phone number is 907-428-7100. So it's mainly just our contacts in these villages that we call daily. But they can also reach out to us and send us information. And our whole team back in Anchorage will take care of that and then relay us messages. So we do that back and forth. So it's kind of like the heartbeat of this whole operation is back at J-Bear. So,
is there anything else you guys would like to add about flooding on the Yukon, breakup on the Yukon, or how to stay safe as we prepare to wrap up for the show today?
I think be prepared. There's a lot of water right now currently behind this ice jam at Russian. That water will make its way downriver over the next couple days. The chance of an ice jam anywhere from, you know, where it currently is all the way down past the Monacaluknuk is definitely there. It's a pretty significant probability of that occurring. So I think the next 4 or 5 days, we're going to likely see some more flooding, and I think just be ready.
I'm just extremely thankful for the communities that we fly into. They are so warm and inviting, and we walk into town and we meet so many interesting, amazing people, and they tell us historical stories of flooding in the past, and this year it's worse than like 2023, or I haven't seen it this bad since the 90s. And I also really appreciate local knowledge of geographical locations. Like yesterday we called one Devil's Elbow, and then we were also told that's also called 7 Mile. And yeah, it's just fantastic to get that local knowledge. Yeah. And we write it all down and we take notes and we pass it on to our team members. So
that's exactly yeah. Too is, you know, talk, you know, the folks that relay information to us know. I mean, we talked to a person in Russian Mission yesterday that knew right where it jams. If it backs up this far, it probably won't get as bad at Russian, but it will get that bad at Holy Cross. And that's exactly what's happening. And so, you know, I think that local knowledge, the elders in the communities, they've seen it, they've heard the stories, and it's amazing for us just to get to talk to them.
Yeah, I feel like the community support with River Watch is so vital. We hear it all the time as John's Flies, the Kuskokwim, and Sam on the Yukon, the people know what is happening, and they are able to relay it to everyone else, and you guys are able to get that information as well. It's awesome.
Yes.
River Watch is so cool.
It's fun to be a part of, too. But, you know, we're here, and, you know, we're hoping for the best for everybody, because, you know, we see the flooding, and it's not good.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on Coffee this morning. Hopefully we'll have you on as long as there's flooding on the Yukon, so that people can get these updates and know what to look for. So thank you again for joining me, and hopefully you'll be on tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Dave and Laura talking about breakup on the Yukon and what flooding will look like this year. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of Coffee at KYUK.
This is Coffee at KYUK.